So on the question of cooperation, I feel it's worth emphasizing that when we speak of cooperation, it's not defined simply by ensuring that a state shows up for their working group session or submits a national report. We speak of genuine cooperation with the UPR, which involves broad consultation at the national level with all relevant actors. It includes providing an accurate reflection of the ground reality and discussing ongoing challenges in a spirit of constructive self-reflection. Unfortunately, we have seen incidents in these past two cycles where some states have attempted to manipulate the process through a misrepresentation in the working group sessions by influencing the outcome report. Furthermore, the Secretary General's annual report on reprisals also makes clear that there have been an increase in attacks against human rights defenders participating in the UPR process. The tragic case of Chow Shun Li is an example of how impunity and allegations of reprisals only serves to deter human rights defenders from further engaging with the process. And we feel it remains important that the President of the Council and all states take such allegations seriously and respond to them urgently and publicly. And moving to the second question on the issue of economic and social cultural rights. The comprehensive study that you have alluded to by the Center for Economic and Social Rights is a really good one, and it highlights that there are significantly fewer recommendations focusing on ESC rights, that their recommendations are vague, and that they are not policy-oriented. For these concerns to be addressed effectively, more needs to be done at the national level as well as the working group stage to ensure full, equal, and accessible participation of human rights defenders working on these issues in a safe and secure manner. The Special Rapporteur on Human Rights Defenders had identified that defenders working on ESC issues are one of the most vulnerable groups of defenders and has pointed to the alarming increases in harassment, arbitrary detention, murder and forced disappearances, as well as intimidation and reprisals for this particular group of defenders. So we also need to acknowledge the additional limitations that many ESC defenders face, as they are often representatives of affected communities based remotely and perhaps not formally engaged in human rights work. That being said, it is also worth reminding that human rights are interrelated and indivisible. For the full realization of economic, social, and cultural rights, it remains essential that civil and political rights are protected. This is evident in the Council's resolution this March on the protection of economic, social, cultural rights defenders, which underscored that the freedom of expression and public participation can be essential to the promotion, protection, and realization of ESC rights. More generally, beyond just looking at ESC rights issues, it has been really encouraging to see how certain affected communities and populations have engaged with the UPR process to bring attention of states to the issues that they face and to work towards bringing more consensus through dialogue among states.